This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Mark Hawthorne. Now, who we got next, Mark?
We have Fiona Boyle has joined us, Executive Director of Kuyura. Is that how I pronounce it correctly?
Yes, that's right.
Fantastic.
Good. I always get it wrong. So, welcome, Fiona. First off, tell us what Kuyura is, what you do, but what it is.
It's a company that was established in 2017, and it was in relation to institutional failings, and the Royal Commission was indicating that an independent investigative body should be available to people making complaints so that the complaints could be dealt with in a way that was independent of the institution. So the Anglican Church, I believe, led the way and developed a company called Kuyura that was set up with independent directors, company limited by guarantee, independent employees.
So this was around the Victorian Royal Commission and the Federal Royal Commission into historical child sexual abuse.
Yes, the Victorian Parliamentary Inquiry, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So in terms of, so the Anglican Church set this company up, but it has an independent, they put some seed funding in, I assume?
Yes, that's right. So they seed funded and we operate on a client base, so we have client institutions. So at the moment the Diocese of Melbourne is our one client, the Diocese of Bendigo is another. Our constitution talks about any charities, so we hope to attract other charitable organisations to diversify our funding streams and therefore increase our perception of independence.
And Fiona, what is the actual work that you do?
So we've got four main services that we provide. The first one is complaints management. So if someone has experienced sexual abuse, any sort of misconduct within the church, they can report it to us. Mm-hmm. So it's external to the church. We have a team of investigators and lawyers that will look into those complaints and manage them with procedurally fair processes. We also have a number of bodies, which we call our professional standards bodies, and they are volunteers that have a wealth of expertise in legal, psychological, child protection areas, and they make the decisions around what needs to happen in terms of this misconduct complaint.
Yep, so you've got a hotline to take in the complaints. You've got people with the right skills who can assist.
That's right. Yeah.
And the next phase?
The next part we have is a redress phase. Mm-hmm. So we have, for one of our clients, we administer their national redress process, but we also have a Kuyura independent redress scheme, which was set up to align much more closely to the recommendations that come out of the Royal Commission, and to be survivor-focused, trauma-informed, and those kinds of things. And then we have a clearance process, so our member institutions can engage us to run screening checks, making sure working with children's checks, mm-hmm. interview people or referees around suitability for working in areas with children. And finally, we have a service of training and education. So it's an integrated complete package with the themes that come out of complaints and redress and clearances. We can integrate that into training to prevent these things within the institution.
So is that training you go into institutions,
yes,
and provide,
yes,
that,
yeah,
sort of work? Yeah. So you were founded in 2017. How long have you been operating?
For 2 years, just over.
So Fiona, one of the challenges in this area, and listeners know I'm a survivor of historical child sexual abuse, is the institutions, with rare exception, deny, obfuscate, don't engage, and won't fess up to what's happened in their institutions. and they'll do everything in their power to stop people investigating or to even apologise or to compensate victims. So when, you know, when someone comes to you and, you know, you then, you know, take down the information, you then say, look, we'll investigate this, and you engage the institution. Do you see, since the Royal Commissions, obviously you've only been formed since then, but are you seeing a change in how the institutions respond? Because we've seen, you know, particularly the Catholic Church, but in a lot of instances the Anglican Church, have not, you know, responded in the way that certainly I wanted them to, and the way that they should have. Are we seeing a change, or are they being dragged kicking and screaming, you know, to own up to what's happened?
Both. So I think our client institutions that sign up to us, we have principles and model litigant principles that we adhere to, and so we are tending to attract the clients that want to change and are being proactive about those changes. Because essentially we wouldn't accept clients that don't come on to these principles around non-adversarial processes. However, we know that people are being dragged kicking and screaming. There's, you know, mechanisms around reportable conduct and those kinds of things that are making institutions really have to sit up and take notice. There's a lot of legislation that needs to be complied with. And so I think it is a mixture.
So we saw yesterday that a boarding house master from Trinity Grammar was jailed for 15 years for a number of offences. Now, you know, I was abused at Trinity, and I'm actually working with Trinity since my matter was settled. I think they're doing some good work. Their statement yesterday after the sentence I thought was pretty gutsy. You know, they commended the people, you know, the survivors for standing up. They also talked about, you know, the length of the investigation and, you know, that it, you know, for the staff at the school, you know, that supporting them. So they're probably a bit of an exception. But I don't think the people out there, Fiona, understand the extent of this, how widespread this is. Can you give us an idea, just in the area that you're working in, how many complaints or active files you have?
Yeah, so at the moment we have 85 active files.
Wow.
And I think in the last year and a half there's been 166 or something like that, people that have come through our service in relation to complaints.
That's a lot.
And in terms of, are they, you know, when you say historic, are they very old, or is there a great range in how far back they go?
There is a great range, and there's some, you know, current. So there's a bit of a mixture, but predominantly historic, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Macca?
I really wonder, Fiona, that, you know, we want the environment to change. What needs to happen? We've seen the National Redress Scheme, which has been spectacularly unsuccessful in both the way that it's run, in terms of the numbers that they've been able... they've certainly attracted a number of applications for redress and compensation. Last time I looked, and this is more than a year on, they've dealt with about 6 or 8%.
Yes.
I know some people are going to find this offensive, but I regard the National Redress Scheme as Kmart for kiddie fiddlers. It is not enough. It is too little. It is one size fits all. It's rubbish. And our politicians, all of them, should be completely and utterly ashamed of themselves. And the Prime Minister should be ashamed. This sits at his wish in Prime Minister and Cabinet, the department, right? He is responsible for this scheme, and it's an appalling thing. People either have the choice of that or having to go through a private redress scheme or through civil action.
Mm.
They're pretty awful. They're pretty awful choices, aren't they?
They certainly are. Like, there's no easy answer to these processes. I believe, and I'm probably biased, that the Kiora Independent Redress Scheme is one of the best. We have tried to align it very strongly with the Royal Commission recommendations. It is survivor-focused. We look at wellbeing from, you know, even before an application's made. There's counselling and support put in place. We've been lucky to have an exceptional redress manager that has really sat down with people and listened to their stories and evolved the program in line with what the feedback has been. So an example of that would be post-redress, once the settlement's over, people feeling just left. And so what she does is call them, we have more counselling, we talk about recovery plans, really, which is what will life be like after redress is completed.
Because this is the really vital component here, that, you know, you make the you make the complaint, you make the allegation, it's investigated, it's found in your favour, you then have to negotiate, you know, the apology and compensation, but it doesn't finish there. It's not like, okay, we're all done now.
Mm.
It's then how you continue on with your life after that. Mm. And this is a really interesting component of what you guys do.
Yep.
That's really central to what you do, isn't it?
Yeah. So we put in the post-application counselling, if you like, to help people navigate, you know, what the application form looks like. In Kiora's application, our application's literally two pages. It's not like the National Redress where you're writing, you know.
I had a look at that. I had a look at the National Redress.
How many pages?
I mean, people that are absolutely in control of their lives and their emotions and everything around them would find that application process onerous and intrusive.
I was quite overwhelmed just reading through it, thinking, how are people going to do this?
You know, and the fact that there have been thousands of applications,
yeah,
you know, says to me, you know, I'm amazed by that many people, not that many people have want to make an application, but were able to, because that process is just extraordinarily difficult.
Yeah. So that's one of the things about Kiora's program is we've literally, it's just the basic information, but we provide these counselling sessions so that people can be supported to make understand why they want to make the application, be clear about what they want, and, they don't even really need to be that clear at that point, but clear that they want to make an application. And the counsellor can sit down with them and go through that. And then during the process, once the application's made, there's ongoing counselling, and this is more about a recovery plan, if you like. So this is more about what will life look like after an apology, say, for example, or what would ongoing counselling need to look like to address my trauma? What would the compensation need to be to help me move forward? And what are the types of things that I'm going to need to use that compensation for? So we've had people come through and say, we're really not that interested in the compensation. What's going to give meaning to me is to have a mosaic garden, a reflection space for other survivors placed in, you know, this institution where I had experienced abuse, as a symbolic but also a practical way to share the care that I want to have for other survivors. You know, that's meaningful. But that's not taking away people's, you know, right to have compensation, because sometimes the money component is actually symbolic too of the institution taking ownership for what had happened. So it's unpacking those things with the person to think about, okay, what is this going to look like post? Because what we don't want people to feel is, okay, they might have a payout, they might have quite a good payout, they might have their apology, and the apology might have went really well, but at the end they're kind of left. And then, so it's about helping people post as well.
If you feel any concern about the issues we're talking about, please reach out to Switchboard 9663 2939, or Lifeline 13 11 14, QLife, and Beyond Blue. Simply Google it. We know this is a very difficult issue and a very troubling issue for many of us, but it needs daylight on it. Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Mark Hawthorne. Our guest is Fiona Boyle, Executive Director of Kiora. Fiona, an organisation that its primary activity is the investigation, redress, remediation and support of survivors of institutional child sexual abuse. How do you and your staff deal with this? You know, you've got hundreds of cases. How do you deal with this? How do you cope with this day in, day out?
It's not easy, but to be very honest, seeing people, survivors, go through their experiences and process their trauma and the strength that they have strengthens us. So it, as you know, my background has been in a therapeutic organisation dealing only with sexual abuse, and I could pretty much tell employees coming in, if they had the right mindset, they would be, their longevity would be not an issue. But if they come in with a different mindset, the longevity would be an issue. So that mindset is really, I am here to support people through, and this is what I can do. So it's being really proactive in this isn't this, not getting involved too much in the stories. It's what I can do to help that person through, and so focusing on that. But that's not to say that it doesn't take its toll. There's things like vicarious trauma. When you hear a number of stories, you can start to get the same trauma symptoms as the survivors themselves. So we think of it as a partnership. As people come into the organisation, we have a wellbeing program that's in its infancy but being established, that looks at the partnership between the organisation's responsibilities and the staff members' responsibilities for wellness and wellbeing. And so examples of that will include access to external debriefing, your own psychologist that you can see on a regular basis to talk through issues. So we provide the same care and support that we would provide to survivors to our team.
Because it's not just yourselves, it's in an awful lot of cases, it's the police officers that investigate this.
Mm-hmm.
It's the courts.
Yes.
And I'm not just talking about the judges. You know, the other officers of the court, the people making the record, you know, the people keeping the records.
Yes.
You know, they hear these cases. They hear the level of detail that none of us want to know. Mm-hmm. If you had the opportunity, Fiona, with you're dealing with an organisation, let's say it's a new organisation, another Anglican school.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we want you to work for us. We want you to work with us. What are the things that you need them to commit to, the things that you need them to agree to, for you to work with them? What's really important in that relationship?
It's important that we're on the same page about how we are treating people. It's important that they accept a fairness in process. It's important to be non-adversarial. It's important for us to have those model litigant principles that support people through the process. It's important for the institution to learn and understand trauma and its impacts. This is such a widespread issue, and the impacts can be lifelong for people. And it's important for the institutions to realise the role that they play in either protecting or placing people at harm.
Just with those institutions, and I want to give you the chance to talk about this, because there's been some reporting about the establishment of Kuyura in the outset, and that it's funded by the Melbourne and Bendigo Diocese. It's probably been some misinformation that's also been put out there. But historically, you are funded by the Melbourne and Bendigo Diocese. Is that correct?
That's correct. They're our current clients. And like I said before, we've got functional independence, but really I see it as an evolution. We need to attract a diversity of clients so that there's not that perception that we are dependent on the Anglican Church.
Because that's been the criticism,
yes,
isn't it? You're funded by them, therefore you're just a new redress scheme that's not actually effective.
Yep.
So can you, for those who are listening, talk through how your structure works? Because I've had a look at it. I'm a business journalist in my past, and I do see that it is quite independent. Can you talk through your structure?
Yeah. So we have a board of governance and a board of scheme directors, and those board members are recruited through various means for their expertise. And at the moment, we have a QC, we have our president's the director of Ambulance Victoria, we have a psychologist, we have a consultant, Susan Halliday, that is has been a commissioner in the past, and we also have academic. So we have diversity from outside of the church on our board, and when we go through recruitment processes, they are looking for the skill sets which actually it will enable the work to be done. So that we've recruited child protection solicitors, Victorian police detectives. My background as a psychologist, but also a CEO in a support service for victims of sexual abuse, and those kinds of things. So we've established recruitment that does not align to the church but aligns with independence.
So if someone had that criticism that simply because the church's money is attached to the funding, you can't be independent, what would be your response to that?
My response would be that we're a values-based organisation, and so if funding were to withdraw, we as a business would need to pivot into another direction, and that's essentially what we're trying to diversify our client base. So the fact that we are paid by them, all our structures, our professional standards bodies, all set as quite separate from the church, we simply report back to the church and state the facts about cases and get people together for redress, for example. Our redress manager calls us the Switzerland in this process. But yes, I mean, it is fair to say that we are solely funded by the Anglican Church at the moment.
But you're looking to diversify
that.
That's right. And in terms of the people who come to you, they're not uniquely survivors of Anglican institutions, is it?
Well, we get a diversity of people coming to us, and we might need to direct them off to different processes, but our schemes are for our client institutions, yeah.
I think one of the really interesting things here is that, you know, the organisation is really focused on the survivors but understands that they have to work with the institutions and bring them along and get an outcome that overwhelmingly is for the survivor, but it also, you know, the reality is that the institution has to agree. And, you know, if you can't agree, the only other avenue you've got is civil action.
Mm-hmm.
And that's time-consuming. It's very time-consuming. It can be very expensive. And it's destructive in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I want to thank you for giving your time this morning, Fiona. What's Kiura's web address if people wish to reach out to you?
www.kiura.org.
And that's spelled KOOYOORA.
Yes, it is.
And the phone number?
1-800-135-246.
There's one thing. If you had a wish in this area, what would it be?
Apart from abuse not occurring?
Well, yeah.
Apart from that, it is that institutions would look for independent solutions, because I think moving forward, that is the only way to make sure that these things are investigated to a level that they need to be, that there can be no question that there has been tampering or conflicts of interest.
So. The institutions have allowed this to happen. Allowed the abuse to happen. Government has been asleep at the wheel with the windows blacked out, right? State government and federal government have had royal commissions into this. The response from the state government has been a lot stronger, I think. The federal government, yes, we set up a redress scheme, but you know what? It needs to change. It needs to be fixed. It's not good enough. You are abusing these survivors in another way again. You're belittling them. You're wearing them out, you're hurting them, you're not supporting them. It's not good enough. Now, I know you can't say that, but I can, and I have. And Prime Minister, it's your responsibility. You made a promise through tears in the Parliament during the apology. Live up to it. Thank you, Fiona Ball, Executive Director of Kiura. Their phone number is 1-800-135-246. Counselling, switchboard 9663 2939, and of course there's Lifeline, Q Life and Beyond Blue.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.